ask you to take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. We have been talking about the Roman road or the Romans road for the last few weeks, looking forward to the week that's going to come. And our program will include many things. One of the things that we're going to have on our program this week is a plan to memorize the verses on the Roman road. And we're going to be giving everyone who comes along a copy of this little, I'm not sure what to call it, this little page, I guess. And it has got six verses on it that we're going to try to get everybody to memorize. And then we've got another six verses that are going to be bonus verses. And if you can say all six verses, you'll get a prize. And if you can say all the next six verses, you're going to get an extra special prize. And we're looking forward to having a good time together. The object of our week is to persuade everybody to get on the Roman road. Okay? Paul says, and it's one of our verses that you will memorize if you memorize all the verses, Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Well, that's very encouraging. Because you see, if you get on the Roman road, you will get salvation. The problem, of course, is that we don't all know what salvation is. And so what we're going to try to answer this morning, in part, is what you get if you get on the Roman road. If you take certain roads in life, you will end up getting to a very undesirable destination. I think I probably told you the story about my grandfather. He was born and raised in Prince Edward Island, and that's a long way from here. And somebody told him to go out west, and this probably was just about 120 years ago, I'm not sure, but pretty close to that. So he got on the train, and he was on the railroad, and the railroad came all the way across. And he got off at Port Moody. Unfortunately, he got off at low tide. And Port Moody at low tide is not really the most inviting place in the world. At low tide, as a matter of fact, if you breathe deeply in Port Moody at low tide, it even sometimes smells not too good. He got on the train and went home again. And then a few years later, he kept on hearing about Vancouver, a nice place. He got on the train. This time he came all the way to Vancouver. And he said to my grandmother, he said, you know, if I'd come all the way to Vancouver, we would have moved here 10 years earlier. And he was terribly disappointed that he missed the ultimate destination. He stopped before he got here. Now, I actually am very disappointed as well, because as some of you know, I'm interested in real estate. And if he got here 10 years earlier, he could have bought land in Vancouver a whole lot cheaper. Okay? And his grandson might have been a whole lot richer, but it didn't work out that way. Okay? Big problem, because he didn't go to the end of the road. But if you go to the end of the road, what are you going to get if you go to the end of the Roman road in the Bible? And the answer is, at the end, there's heaven and all kinds of blessings. But on the way, you don't all have to stop in Old Port Moody, because on the way, there's good blessings as well. So I'm first of all going to read you the Roman road. I'm going to try to quote parts of it for you. But you need to know what you've got to do on the road. And then if you do that on the road, the question is, what are you going to get when you get there? And so I've got to go fast, because what you're going to get when you get there is really good. But the first step on the Roman road says this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which means, because you and I are sinners, we're not going to get to a very good destination. The next verse tells us the destination of the sinner. It says this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't end there, praise the Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you got to get on the right road, because if you're on the road of sin, the wages of sin is death. But if you get off that road and you get on the right road, then you'll be going to heaven, and the gift of God is eternal life. That's what heaven's all about. That's the end of the road. Now, the next verse says, it's Romans 5:8. It says, God commends or recommends or provides his love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. We're on the road that leads to death, but we can get off the road and get on the road that leads to life. And that's all because when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Okay, and the next verse tells us how we can take advantage of the fact that Jesus died for us. It is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the last verse is Romans 10:13, and it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You take those six verses, you say, I am going to appropriate those verses. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to confess him as Savior. I'm going to call upon him. And you get to get on the right road, the Roman road, that's leading to life. And the question is, what do you get when you get there? And we spent some time this morning in Romans chapter 12, and that tells us the kind of character that we will get in our life if we follow the Roman road. But Romans 8 tells us what we will get from the Lord himself when we get on the Roman road. And I gave you 28 things that you get this morning. And those of you who get tired of going on and on will be happy to know that I'm only going to give you 16 things that you get from the Lord as you go through as you follow the Roman road. I'm going to give you the 16 things that God gives you. And there are more. I've just taken 16 out of this chapter. When I get to the end of the 16, I'm going to ask you the question, if I don't forget, do you think that's a good thing to get? Okay, I'm going to list 16 things. This chapter is going to list 16 things for us. And the question is, would that be worth getting? Which road would you rather be on? Would you like to be on the road, the broad road the Lord Jesus talks about, that goes down to destruction? Or would you like to be on the road that leads to life? So here we go. We're going to look at them. There should be 16 when we get to the end. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from sin and of death. All right. So we're just going to stop haphazardly, not haphazardly. We're going to stop as we go verse by verse, skip certain verses. But the first two verses are very good. One talks about the fact that there will be no condemnation. Is that a good thing to get? Raise your hand if you're a sinner. Okay, that's pretty good. Up we go. Okay, now, we're all sinners. But the question is, would you like to be forgiven? Would you like the judge to say, you are forgiven? I've told you the story often about a fellow who used to come to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. He got into real trouble. And he was picked up by the police. He smashed his car, picked up by the police, drunken driving. He was in a terrible state. And he went to the judge. And the judge says, what are the charges against this man? And the prosecutor said, well, to be perfectly frank, Your Honor, the arresting officer is not here today, and therefore we cannot present the charges. And the judge says, what's wrong with the arresting officer? They said, well, he's homesick today, sir. And the judge says, well, he's homesick. Well, what's wrong with him? Well, he says he's got a cold. And the judge said, this court proceeding is going to be held up because a great big burly policeman has got the sniffles, and he slammed his gavel down and he said, court dismissed. And my friend walked free, absolutely guilty. And he walked completely free. How do you think he felt? How do you think he felt? Pretty happy. He thought, this is absolutely marvelous, incredible. I'm guilty and I got to go free. That's the first point. Okay? What's the verse say? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and of death. There's a law. It's just as powerful as the law of gravity. It's the law of sin that leads to death. You and I are all sinners, and it leads to death. And the Bible says there's another law. The law of life in Christ Jesus has made us free of the law of sin and death. Would you like to get on a road that leads there? You say, that's a pretty good road. I kind of like to be on that road. That's point number one. All right, chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the logic of all this passage simply means that if you get on the Roman road, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you end up getting victory over the flesh. Now that's a big topic. And you'd read Romans 7 over and over and over again to get the significance of that passage. But it's wonderful to get victory over the flesh. Have you ever done anything that you know you shouldn't do and know that you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyway? And the answer is, yeah, we've often done that. And you say, why did I do it? And the answer is because the flesh does it. You see, we're born sinners and we are prone to sin. And you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God gives you victory over the flesh that would keep on sinning and sinning and sinning. Is that a good thing to get? Would you like freedom? Would you like victory? Okay, those are two good things. There's only 16 that I'm going to mention, but the first two are pretty good, aren't they? Freedom and victory. Verse 14. It says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? You are all born into a family. I won't get you to raise your hand. You don't even need to give an expression on your face. But have you ever said, I kind of wish I was born into another family? Okay. And had you been born into another family, you might get things a little different. I told you before that when I was a little boy, I thought it would be nice to be born into the royal family because then I could have a horse. But I never did get the horse, and I never did get born into the royal family. Now that I'm older, I'm glad for the family that I was born into. Thank you. But sometimes we say it would be nice to have been born into a better family. How'd you like to be born into God's family? Okay, that's a pretty good deal. What happens if you follow the Roman road? And you simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get freedom. You get victory. And you get adopted into God's very own family. What's next? Verse 60. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's an interesting verse. It's a hard one to understand. But it basically says this. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God will be a witness to you. It will be a witness to you that you are part of God's family. It will assure you. Some people say, you know, I'm not even sure whether I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. I'm not sure what I get. But you speak to somebody who's been a Christian for a while, and you say, are you really sure? And they say, yeah, I'm sure. How are you sure? You say, I don't know. I just got this inner conviction. What I believed is true. And this passage teaches us that that inner conviction comes from the very Holy Spirit of God Himself in you. The Spirit is, it's a spirit. And we can't handle, we can't hear, we can't physically understand the Spirit of God. You can't see Him. He's like the wind. But the Spirit of God is real in this sense. We can see His effects. If the wind blows, we can't see it, but we can see the curtains fluttering. And if you've got the Spirit of God in you, you won't be able to see Him, taste Him, feel Him, touch Him, but you can sense that He is there, and His witness will be there, and it will be real. And it will witness to the fact that He is real and that your faith in Him is real. But it will witness to all kinds of other wonderful facts in your life. The Spirit of God in you, witnessing to you, speaking to you. That'd be worth having? It's the very Spirit of God Himself in you. The great men of God, I'm trying to remember which one it is now. But they said of Him, the Spirit of the living God is in Him. Was it Joseph or Daniel? I can't remember. What a marvelous thing to have the Spirit of God in you, witnessing to you, through you. Verse 17. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. We not only get the witness of the Spirit of God, but we get the inheritance of the sons of God through the work of the Spirit of God. Would you like a fat inheritance? I did tell you the story probably, but I still giggle at it, about the fellow who was sitting in his office one day, and he had a very glum look on his face. And his friend said to him, why is it that you look so blue today? Well, he said, you know, you remember that I told you that 3 weeks ago my grandfather died and he left me $100,000. Yes, he said, I remember that. And he said, you know, and then 2 weeks ago it was an aunt who died and she left me $50,000. Yes, he said, I heard that. And he said, you remember last week, there was another member of my family died. He left me $20,000. And the man said, yes, I remember that. But why are you so glum today? He said, you know, it's Friday, and I still didn't get one thin dime. Okay, that's a joke. Okay, why does he feel bad? Because he didn't get any extra inheritance this week. Okay? You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you get inheritance from God, and you can rejoice in it every day. And if you read your Bible diligently every day, you'll find every day that you get a little more than you thought you were going to get. It's there for you. You just didn't understand it. And every time you read it, you realize you get more. Would that be worth getting? Can I summarize it for you here? You get freedom. You get victory. You get the adoption of sons. You get the witness of the Spirit. You get the inheritance of sonship through the Spirit. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Would you like help? Just about everybody likes help, don't they? And what kind of help would you like? Well, you usually want the best of help, don't you? How'd you like the Spirit of God to help you? You see, that's pretty good. The Spirit of God to help you. So that's the next item. But the verse goes on, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, which simply means that the Spirit of God prays for you. You ever met somebody who said, you know, I've been praying for you? What do you say? And you say, thank you very much. Now, how would you like it if the Spirit of God were praying for you? Well, frankly, that's better than Waldo praying for you, isn't it? How marvelous can you get? What happens when you get on the Roman road? The Spirit of God comes into your life. What's the Spirit of God do for you? He does all these good things for you. Are they worth getting? Yeah, they're worth getting. You say to yourself, why would anyone ever walk another road when you can be on the Roman road and you can be going to heaven, and on the way you get all these good things? Heaven's up there, and you get far more than this when you get to heaven. These are all the things you get on the way to heaven. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And theoretically, we should spend several hours on this verse. It's so good. What's it say? It says that our God is so good that he makes absolutely everything in our life work together for his good, for our good. So how was yesterday? Well, if you were on the Roman road, it was fantastic, thank you. Because you see, he makes everything work together for good. The psalmist in Psalm 1, he comes close. He says, and whatsoever he does will prosper. That's an absolutely amazing thing. The psalmist, Psalm 23, says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is that good? That's good. What happens? You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get on the Roman road. What happens? Everything works together for good, including all those bad things that happened last week. God makes them good too. Everything works together for good. Not some things. Everything works together for good. Okay? Have you memorized Romans 8:28? If you haven't, memorize Romans 8:28. It's a fabulous verse. Claim it every day. Claim it. God makes all things work together for my good. Praise the Lord. Okay? Hopefully, I'm trying to convince you. Hopefully, the Spirit of God is convincing you. You better get on the Roman road. It's a good road to be on. You get all kinds of good stuff on the Roman road. He makes it, it isn't just that we get his goodness, we get his prosperity as well on the Roman road. Verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Would that be a good thing? Okay. Sometimes you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes you might even say, you know, it would be kind of nice if I looked a little different. Some people say that. If, in fact, you were to be on the Roman road, what are you going to end up looking like? And the answer is Jesus. If you had your choice of who you'd look like, who would you choose? Would you choose a movie star? Would you choose an athlete? Would you choose a politician? Or would your other look like Jesus? They say, okay, that's pretty simple. I want to look like Jesus. And the fact is that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are predestined to look like Jesus. And Jesus is not, the Spirit of God is not going to stop working in your life until you are like Jesus. You say, hallelujah, that's kind of a good deal. I'm all for that. Verse 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What's that mean? It means you get the support of God. Okay, doesn't matter what you do, God's there to help. Doesn't matter what you do, God is there to support you. And verse 32 goes on, he that spared his not only his son, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What do you get? We get everything you need from Jesus. So, would you like the support of the Spirit of God? Would you like the gift of the Spirit of God if it's everything you need? You say, this is getting to be pretty good, you know. It's not a bad list. If you were to make up a list, could you make a list as good as you've already got here? If I were just to sit you down before the message today, gave you a sheet of paper and said, write down everything, would you have put down all these good things, or would you have forgotten a lot of them? Would you have said, no, they're too good? I go, he couldn't get that. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Absolutely no charge against you will stick. That goes all the way back to verse 1, and it carries on here again. It's justification, and it wouldn't matter what you've done, wouldn't matter where you go, there isn't a single charge that can be laid against you that's going to stick. Well, frankly, you say that's too good to be true. It's not too good to be true. That's all part of the consequences of getting on the Roman road. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Okay, what do you call that? You call that a guarantee, don't you? Guarantee of the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Is that worth having confidence in? Is that worth getting? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. You say, that's a pretty good guarantee. I got a letter in the mail the other day. It simply said, dear sir, thank you for buying this. This is just to advise you that the warranty will expire in 3 months. And if it's not working by then it's your expense. I said to myself, thank you very much. At least they let me know ahead of time. It's not working perfectly, to be perfectly frank. Here's a guarantee. Nothing can go wrong. Reminds me of another joke, but you didn't laugh at the last one, so I won't tell you the next one either. But anyway. All right. In life, I will tell you the other joke. It's an old story about the guy who got on an airplane. And as they were flying along on the old airplane, that voice came on and said, "You'll be interested to know this is a fully automatic airplane. There are no staff on this airplane. This is fully automated, and we've run it over and over again. And we can guarantee you that on this flight, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong." Okay, you got to be awfully old. That's an old phonograph record. Okay? God says nothing can go wrong. And when he says nothing can go wrong, he means nothing can go wrong. That'd be worth getting. Guarantee from the God who made you that nothing can go wrong. Verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can go wrong. Okay? Now, if this was on sale at Walmart, you'd buy it. But you see, you don't have to pay anything for this. All you have to do is follow the Roman road. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And if you'll confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So why do we bother telling people at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel about the Roman road? We tell them because everybody's got to be on the Roman road. Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's so good, Nicodemus. Don't miss it." I didn't get 18 or 16 there. I sort of lost count. I'm going to read them to you again. You tell me whether you think that's worth getting. You get freedom. You get victory. You get the adoption of sonship. You get the witness of the Spirit. You get the inheritance of sonship from the Spirit. You get the help of the Spirit and the intercession of the Spirit. You get the goodness of the Spirit and the prosperity of the Spirit. You get predestination to the image of Jesus Christ. You get the support of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit and the justification of the Spirit. You get the presence of the Spirit. You get the victory of the Spirit, and you get the guarantee of the love and the no separation from the love of the Spirit of God. Is that worth having? That's why we're going to hold Romans Road Week. Because we want everyone, the children, the adults, we want everybody to get the blessings of the Roman Road. By the way, I just got to remind you, that's not heaven. That's just what you get now. After all that comes heaven. It's just what you get on the way to heaven. Is that worth getting? Amen. Lord, we want to thank you for the promises of God. And we know that they're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But Lord, they're so big and so good. They overwhelm us. Lord, our prayer is that none of us would say, "I'm not convinced." Oh, we pray that none of us would say, "I don't know that I need that." Lord, may we all reach out. Say thank you for the Roman road. Thank you that all we have to do is believe that we can have life. We pray, Lord, for everyone who is here today that they will all trust the Savior. We pray for those downstairs, the children, the adults. Lord, may we all trust the Savior. And we pray next week, Lord, that you'll bring in many who don't know the Lord, and they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We're looking, Lord, for people to get off the broad road and get onto the narrow way, following the Lord Jesus Christ, that these blessings that so thrill us will be their portion as well. We thank you that you're big enough God to give these blessings to all who will come to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.